Seventh regular meeting of the Board of School Trustees. Can I get a motion, please?
Move approval.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Any comments, changes, additions? Wonderfully prepared by Mrs. Julian. As always. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. We have no unfinished business tonight, and we will move into academic achievement with the Way to Go Awards presented by Mr. Ulrich tonight.
Good evening. Tonight, we're going to once again recognize our West Side Way to Go Award recipients. As a reminder, this award was created to recognize students who have exemplified good citizenship qualities that are basic to our district's mission. Recipients were selected by their teachers and administrators, and we will recognize two students from each building, and we'll start with the elementary with Dr. Taggart.
Thank you, sir. Obviously, there's a height discrepancy. I get to celebrate it at the elementary school, at any school. Your oldest grade level is always your leaders. Doesn't matter anything you go about it, they're your building leaders. And so tonight I'm very excited to celebrate two of our third grade leaders. So we're going to start with Tripp. Come on up, Tripp. We have Mr. Swanson. He exemplifies, these are the comments that I received. He exemplifies what it is to be a good citizen. Thank you. Empathy and kindness come naturally to him. On any given day, Tripp can be seen doing acts of kindness and selflessness that most of us probably have to push ourselves to do. We should all be proud that Tripp is an authentic breath of life into the spirit of Westside Way. Tripp Swanson. Next one, Miss Ryan, come on up. Ryan was actually a joint nomination by two of our staff members. They work together. So Ryan is one of the kindest children we have ever met. She puts forth great effort in everything that she does. She includes others, constantly helps without being asked for recognition, and is a calming influence. Ryan does all this while working hard to improve academically. Ryan Harris.
Parents, this is your photo moment if you want one. Nice job.
Thank you so much for all your hard work.
I look forward to those third graders coming to our building soon. All right, I'm going to start tonight with one of our fifth graders, Garrett McNiven, please. Garrett McNiven is an especially hardworking student who tries his personal best in everything that he does. He embraces challenges. He is respectful to all and, as a result, has many friends. He is a team player, never critical of anyone, and has a knack for validating someone's opinion, even if it's different from his. He has great insight in classroom discussions and has emerged into a positive leader in the classroom. Everyone enjoys his positivity and his enthusiasm. Garrett clearly exemplifies the very best attributes of the students at West Lafayette Intermediate School. Congratulations. Kyra Chopra, please come up. Kyra is a sixth grader. Kyra is a model student and classroom citizen. She always does her best work and helps others do the same. She is respectful and responsible. She is active in multiple extracurricular activities, including the Willis Review and Student Council, among others, and handles it with patience and grace. She takes initiative and helps others. She is kind to all people and cooperative when working to solve problems. Her positive attitude and peaceful, caring nature are what make Kyra worthy of this award. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm going to pinch in here for Mr. Schreiner. Whoa, you guys really number. It's okay. Sorry, I'll just hold it. At the junior senior high school, we also have two nominees. And the first one is Grace Reynolds. So Grace, you can come on up. Mrs. Fordyce works with Grace in a variety of ways at school and wanted to nominate Grace for this award. And here's what Mrs. Fordyce had to say. I've had the chance to interact with Grace in the classroom and as a club advisor. Grace is a very hardworking and always tries to do what is right and just. What really stands out to me about Grace is that she has a real passion for caring for others and their mental health and well-being. Grace is currently the president of our Bring Change to Mind Club. During a time when our students need more mental and emotional support than ever, Grace has been quietly and diligently working hard to spread kindness and positive awareness of mental health in our school community. Grace's compassion for others and her strong leadership skills make her an outstanding candidate for the West Side Way to Go Award. Our second recipient is Micah Wood, a senior at the high school. Come on up, Michael. Micah. Micah was nominated for this award by a teacher, Jacob Van Arsdale, and also his basketball coach. Here's what Mr. Van Arsdale had to say. I would like to nominate Micah for this award. My dealings with him have been mostly within the athletic environment, but it is his citizenship within that environment that really stands out. He is always the last one in the locker room, making sure that everything is cleaned up and better than when we got there. He consistently does what is asked of him, no matter how big or small the task at hand may be. He always does what he can do to take care of his teammates and shows the ability to care about more than himself and his desires. I know he is also heavily involved in a variety of other activities at the school, including West Lafayette Dance Marathon. And whether he is at school or at basketball, he absolutely represents West Lafayette in a way that would make everyone extremely proud. Michael Wood.
So as exciting as our board meetings are, this is your opportunity to leave and go on about your evening. If you would like to do so, you are welcome to stay, but completely up to you. Congratulations again. I would do it here for sure. Hey, we actually have another recognition we're going to do this evening, Dr. Greiner.
And we're going to post a picture here, so that's what I'm waiting on.
Technology is so great when it works.
He's going to do it a different time.
Oh, so okay.
No. But we felt like this might be a good time to do this. So we wanted to recognize the Merit Scholar finalists. We are proud to recognize several of our students as a Merit Scholar finalist. Here you see pictured 14 out of the 18 Merit Scholar finalists. We'd like to congratulate each of these individuals. Seated left to right in the front are Matilda B., Jennifer Y., Angeli V., Shannon T., Irene B., Margaret P. Seated left to right in the back, Kevin X., Bryce R., Zane Yen L., Jonathan S., Calvin C., Adrian M., Gabriella W., and Lincoln M. And then we had Some that were not pictured, Orion D, Jacob R, Keisha, Krisha S, and Lily S. Again, we're very proud of these students. Congratulations to their most impressive accomplishments. And I think it speaks volumes to the commitment of our students, commitment of our parents, and the commitment of our fine staff. So congratulations.
All right, so we are going to move ahead. Communication from the audience, current agenda item. We have one signed up, Mrs. James.
My name is Angie James, and I live on Ravinia Road in West Lafayette. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the board for your decision to initiate an RFP for new legal counsel. It's agenda item number 5. As this has been an important issue to me for many months, this item on the agenda gives me hope, and I feel heard. Thank you. New legal counsel could have a profound effect on improving the relationship between the school board and the community. Current counsel has routinely advised denying public access requests and has escalated routine fulfillment of requests for public information to the Indiana Public Access Counselor multiple times in the last few months, each time resulting in a decision in favor of the community and a loss for Mr. Reiling's firm. Each loss was accompanied by a check from the school board. This decision to seek new counsel is an opportunity to change the dynamic, freeing up funds to pay someone to fill requests rather than overpaying someone to fight them. I am enthusiastic about the potential for open, transparent leadership this agenda item could initiate, and am anxious for a vote in favor of this motion. As a member of the community, I would appreciate knowing what measures will be taken to ensure an impartial and objective search. In the event that Reiling, Teeter & Schreier LLC submits a proposal for consideration, I would suggest that any board member whose campaign was funded by the RDP PAC, to which Mr. Reiling and his firm donated in 2020, would be advised to recuse themselves from this decision. I would call for the same action if any firm that has contributed to the RDP PAC submits a proposal. 87% of the $26,000 raised by the RDP PAC in 2020 was provided by donors with a financial relationship with the school corporation. Construction companies, architects, attorneys, and other contractors collecting checks from the schools should not be funding the campaigns of those voting to approve their contracts. If your campaign was funded by the RDP PAC, please avoid even the appearance of impropriety by recusing yourself from any decision where a PAC contributor stands to gain financially by your vote. I am encouraged by a move toward openness I have seen since Dr. Greiner joined our district. I hope that this trend continues, and specifically that the search for counsel is conducted with transparency, fairness, and impartiality. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to Assistant Superintendent posting, Dr. Greiner.
Okay, so you have received in your Friday notes, and you have available even in the packet the comparisons of an organizational chart, current compared to proposed. You can see that Mr. Sloat will be planning to retire again, and therefore we're prepared to move Mr. O'Holt into the assistant CFO position, or into the, from the assistant CFO position to the CFO position. Also, if you look at the charts, you can see that we have a vacancy. It was currently in the current one, it's listed as an assistant position to curriculum and administration. And then we also have Mrs. Laws, who at the end of the year is hoping to move to a part-time status. So in the proposed plan, through restructuring, I would like to propose that we fill the vacant position with an assistant superintendent position. You've seen the job description. That has been fluid. We've been developing it through feedback from the board, from board members. I even received feedback yet again today, and so it was very useful information to more fully develop that position. So we will continue to develop it and prepare to post if the board approves the opportunity to post that position. With these changes, you would recognize approximately $65,000 in savings, and with the potential of more because an assistant superintendent working in our office with our central office staff could lead to research opportunities that in the past have been done by legal counsel, given the lean central office staffing. And so it is my recommendation to the board that we be granted permission to post for an assistant superintendent vacancy or vacancy to fill.
So I need a motion, please.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Mr. Schott, second by Mr. Marley. An opportunity for discussion and questions, please.
For the assistant superintendent position, and thank you, Dr. Greiner, for taking the suggestions and to kind of incorporate the suggestions in the job description. And I do have a follow-up question. And so you mentioned that two to three board members and the many other people and teachers and building administrators, and you will be on the search committee for this assistant superintendent. And I wonder whether I can serve on it, because, you know, among the description, there are many issues I'm kind of familiar with, being an educational researcher, and also I'm familiar with quantitative research, and making data-driven decisions is part of this description right now. And so I feel passionate about this position, and I wish I can survive, but I wonder whether, you know, how the committee, the search committee are selected, and whether I can do that.
Great question, Dr. Yan. And the positions from the board, I'll look to Mrs. Witt as president to post those. So please do. I think she hears you expressing your interest. So.
Yeah, as I put in the Friday notes, I asked for opinions about that, and I've heard from most of the board members that they would like to participate. My intention right now is that that would be the board officers who would participate in that search. But I really appreciate your volunteering to do it, and I'll take a look at the composition of it once we kind of get a little more into the process. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Does anybody else have any other questions, comments, thoughts?
No, I mean, I appreciate the fiscal standpoint, but also that, you know, as you come in and inboard it, what, you know, trying to build your vision of what you want to see is important. And as a board, we need to certainly evaluate that and look at that. But I respect that you've begun this process as quickly as you have.
Thank you, Mr. Kirby.
This is a position that we've considered on and off for quite a few years, and we've intentionally built up the administrative staff at the schools where we feel like we are fully staffed at the schools. And I feel this is just one of the last pieces that will fund, and not only fund, but help the central office staff in their functioning. So I'm pleased that you're suggesting this to us.
Thank you, Dr. Squire.
This is Witz. I do have a follow-up question. And so you mentioned that the board officers will automatically serve on the search committee. And I wonder whether that's in the policy or something I missed.
No, it's entirely within my purview to make that decision and who would be the best balance. And so the board officers, I don't just make them arbitrarily. Mr. Marley and Mr. Schott and I will talk about that and see what the best balance will be and what will best serve the position. So
so it's not in the policy saying the officers will search for the assistant.
No, the policy is that the board president would make the decision. That's in our organizational documents, I believe. I can't cite a specific one for you, but in general, I would make that decision and advise Dr. Greiner on what would be appropriate and best serve his search. It's Dr. Greiner's search.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
So the role of a board member on that search is to help communicate to the rest of the board what the search has been, what it looks like, and help inform the conversation to the board and make sure the board stays informed and can come to a vote prepared to vote. So just as I send weekly communications to every board member explaining what's gone on in the week, and so bringing everybody into the loop and what my activities had been, I would expect that would also include the assistant superintendent search or any search of Dr. Griner's where board members were needed or used.
Okay, thanks.
Does that help explain? We can certainly discuss that later if there are questions, but I definitely have heard your request to be on it. So thank you for the volunteering for that. Any other comments from anyone? Okay, if we can move on to a vote, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Go and search wisely.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to the next item, number four, appointment of chief financial officer. Dr. Reiner.
Thank you. So it's my recommendation that we move to approve, or that the board move to approve Mr. Uhl as the CFO effective April 1st, 2022. Mr. Uhl has been serving as the assistant CFO. He's been working very conscientiously on completing his chief business officer certification. And that's the highest ranking that or certification you can get through the Indiana Association of School Business Officials. He has obtained those credentials, and the board president will be getting notification as soon as they verify that. And I will be getting notification as well as Mr. Uhl. He is also focusing on obtaining a graduate certificate in finance through Ball State University. And so he's served and is certainly highly respected among our teachers, among our administrators, and through our community for his dedicated service as an educator. And he certainly has shown through even through negotiations his ability to understand school funding and understand how to fully support the functions of the district. And so it is my recommendation that the board move to approve Mr. Uhl in that position.
Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley, second by Mrs. Austin. Okay, comments, questions, discussion? Anyone?
I would say you said a lot of his family. We knew of his acumen as a teacher long before, knew of his ability as a business person, and through negotiations, Mr. Marley and myself were involved 2 years ago, but my years of being involved, never had anybody he was on the side of the teachers at that point. Anybody more prepared, understanding the big picture of what not only funding from that perspective, but also the ability to take a problem and look at it, kind of being able to walk in somebody else's shoes. I mean, I thought that he did an exemplary job of doing that. And since then, and since in our transition between superintendents and all that has gone on with the in the last year, he's been just simply necessary for us to be able to do what we've been able to do, in my view. So I couldn't recommend somebody more personally.
I would also like to thank you, Steve, for all your help in the past year. And, you know, I'm the one who always have so many questions, and you are always patient and responsive and never treat me as a troublemaker. I sincerely appreciate that. And also just recently you prepared the very detailed the code book for the account payables, and this is super helpful. And every time also when you explain things, you are so articulate and so patient, and I cannot thank you enough. And I'm glad you'll be the official one, and it's great you finished all the training, and so look forward to working with you further. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Uhl, very much. I'm inspired by your continued as a student as well as teacher. So job well done. All right. If there are no other questions, comments, okay. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move on to item number 5, initiation of the request for proposal for legal services. And Dr. Greiner.
quite the guy to be talking
you
to.
You are there. The guy.
So a committee came together, Mrs. Witt, Mr. Marley, and Dr. Yin, and they did review the current legal counsel arrangement. And it's not uncommon to every so often initiate an RFP process with outside consultation and or legal services, et cetera. And so based on the recommendation of the committee, I've put together a packet of the steps we might take to work through the RFP process. And I would propose to the board that we initiate the work through this RFP process and collect and consider proposals. And I would suggest that it will probably take approximately 60 days to fully work through the process. Thank you for the feedback as I have provided Mrs. Witt and members of the committee to develop this outline. And so I would recommend that the board initiate this process.
Can I move for approval, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley. Second by Mrs. Austin. Discussion, comments, questions? Get a chance to look at the RFP?
No.
I'd like to thank Mr. Schott. And typically, again, the officers would do that one. Mr. Schott stepped off so that Dr. Yin had the ability to step on and participate in that review of legal services and work through that RFP process with us. So thank you for that, both you, Mr. Shaw, and Dr. Yin, for your flexibility.
Yeah, thank you for giving me that opportunity. Thanks.
Anybody, anything else? All righty. No other comments. Can all those in favor please indicate?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. Moving on to the turnover report, no exhibit for that one, Mr. Olhout.
So the business office undertook to try to quantify what our turnover rate has been among our certified and non-certified staff over a recent time period. And so I want to report on that today. I'll start with the certified teaching staff. We have data on this from 2017 through 2021. In 2017, we had a 12.1% turnover rate among our teaching staff. In 2018, it was 10.5%. In 2019, 9.7%. In terms of the buildings, the turnover rate was highest in these 3 years at the junior senior high school, next highest at the elementary, and the lowest at the intermediate school. In 2020, our turnover rate among teachers was 6.25%, with the highest percentage at the intermediate school, largely due to 3 retirements. The next highest rate was at the junior senior high, and the lowest at the elementary school. In 2021, our turnover rate was 8.1%. Of the 13 separations, 5 were retirements. The rates from highest to lowest were the junior, senior high, elementary, and intermediate school. The average annual turnover rate from 2017 to 2021 was 9.3%. To get some comparison, we also contacted the human resource departments at the Tippecanoe School Corporation and the Lafayette School Corporation to inquire about their turnover rates. TSC estimated that their teacher turnover is between 8 and 10% annually. LSC did not state a turnover rate among teachers, but they suggested that their evidence is that teaching staff turns over primarily due to spouse and family considerations rather than dissatisfaction with their school corporation. Then we undertook to analyze 1 year of data regarding the turnover among our non-certified staff And we had to limit this to full-time year-round staff for calendar year 2021. We used a calculation method recommended by the Society for Human Resource Management to determine an annual turnover rate. Among our maintenance and custodial staff, the turnover rate was 22.2%, or 5 of 22.5 full-time equivalent employees. There were many reasons for this, ranging from retirement, military enlistment. We actually had a couple of resignations and rehires, and one person just left. Of the two new hires, they were transfers in from other departments within the corporation. But all of these do count as turnover whenever somebody leaves one position within the district and takes another. Among our clerical staff, the turnover rate was 37.8% of 18.5 employees. One passed away, one moved out of the state, three transferred to other jobs in the corporation, one moved to another school corporation, and one moved to another business. There was no turnover among nurses in 2021. In technology, we have four employees, two separated, so 50%. One went to a private business, and one went to work elsewhere in government. We also inquired from the local school districts about their non-certified staff turnover. TSC told us that their average turnover is around 20% annually for non-certified staff. LSC did not track their non-certified turnover systematically. So going forward, we'd like to actually collect more information, especially among other staff that we haven't been able to track as well, such as paraprofessionals, food service, lunchroom supervisors, and other categories of staff that we weren't able to run these calculations on looking backward, but we want to do so looking forward. So in conjunction with the department heads and also building principals, we developed an exit interview survey, again, adapted from one created by the Society for Human Resource Management, and we adapted it for use in a school. And we will all be using this systematically to gather data and feedback from our staff who leave in an effort to do what we can to retain great employees and improve working conditions across all of our departments. That's my report.
Okay. No vote on this one, but if anyone has any questions or comments to Mr. Olho?
I would just like to say that this exemplifies completely why you're so great for the position you just voted you into, because when I asked you about this a couple of months ago, I just wanted like a rough order of magnitude, like, you know, like TSC gave. And the fact that you went into that level of detail and not only provided that much information, but also made a plan for going forward to improve just shows me that you're going to be awesome, to continue to be awesome as well, the CFO. So thank
I
you
do appreciate
much.
That, but I also want to give credit to Mrs. Connie Laws, who spent an inordinate amount of time going through and culling the data to help run these tabulations. So nothing that we do over there is as an individual effort. So I'll take that compliment on behalf of the business office.
I appreciate you very much. Thank you. This is lovely information.
And the other thing I think it's important is that while it's important that we track and certainly look at any the exit interviews, I think are really important to understand why and, you know, if there are things that we could be doing better. But we are, I think, well below the national rate of 16-17%. So that's a good sign, but there's always work to do. And it's not an easy time for teachers and staff. We know that very much at this point in time. So, but thank you for your work.
Thank you for the very thorough report. And so it's not in a packet yet, right? So it's...
That's correct.
Okay, so I wonder whether you can share that at some point.
I can.
Okay, that would be great. Thanks.
Thank you.
So we will continue to do the exit interview and moving forward.
Yes.
So kind of always monitor, you know, what's going on, why people are leaving, and whether there's anything we can do to keep them in So
the goal is, of course, to gather information that we could act on. In many cases, there are things that prompt people to leave that we can't necessarily control, but those things that we can control, it's good to know about them.
Right. Okay, great. So it's like a individual building will do that? Or it's
the
kind
survey?
Of talk to the people who are resigning? And
so what will happen is, as each person resigns and leaves their position, their supervisor will be asked to give them one of these surveys to complete. And then that survey will be returned to the business office, where we can keep tabs on the results.
Okay, great. So we do have a kind of central management for this. Okay.
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
That raised an interesting question for me. Mr. Olhout, obviously you're not going to report on that on a monthly basis here at our board meeting. So is this a situation where you might give us an annual update, or what would be appropriate?
We can report out, as frequently as semi-annually, perhaps even quarterly. Resignations, they come in spurts sometimes. It's probably best if we can gather at least 6 months of data before we report back. Otherwise, you may just wind up with essentially anecdotes.
That sounds like a really good time frame to me.
So another thing, I wonder whether our district can do some sort of anniversary celebration. And at my university, we do like a 5-year, 10-year, like 15-year, 20-year celebration for the anniversary. So all the people who reach that landmark will, be recognized and celebrated and given a gift and things like that. So
I don't think there would be any impediment to doing such a thing.
We've done that in the past. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had a celebration every year, and we had 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 and upward awards, and awards designated for each of those time frames. And we had a dinner and so forth. And it, when we got into financial troubles, that was the time when we chose to discontinue it. But
thanks for that. Yeah, thanks for that background.
Can we do like a fundraising to do that continue in the future? So it sounds good.
I don't want to speak for Dr. Greiner, but I think just having worked with him enough already to say that he would comprehensively review what his celebration of his staff would look like in our buildings, and I'm sure he welcomes ideas like that.
But. And it might even be something where, as you talked, Dr. Yen, and actually you and I have kind of conversed about that before, I think it could be something we even talked about during a board retreat, like maybe that's something that we'll have administrators together. We kind of talk about what something might look like, and then continue the dialogue. So thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you for considering that.
Anything else? All right, we'll move on to school board policy revisions. Dr. Greiner.
So we've got several policies tonight that'll require a first reading, and then we've got one that will require two readings because it's a brand new policy, and we've got many more revisions to look at over time. So but we're going to do that and be committed to getting everything up to date. So the policies that are up for first reading, simply because they are some sort of revision due to Indiana code, etc., include Policy 143, which this one is came out of request that the board for us to look at allowing public records with exception to those that are not exempt or that are exempt to be available without the board having to vote to approve those. So that change in or revision is a revision, so it will not require two readings, and you've seen that in your Friday notes. Policies 1220, 3120, 41, and 4120 relate to anti-nepotism, and it's making us consistent in these policies to an anti-harassment policy, which is 5517. And basically what it's saying is direct supervision of spouses or relatives is not acceptable. So that's the revision to that policy. Policy 2226 addresses non-discrimination, and it basically is a revision to the definition of rape. And then policies 5111 and 6250 are related to requirements by the Indiana Department of Education with regard to ADM or counts, student counts for funding. And basically it's stating that West Lafayette Community School Corporation requires a lease or mortgage statement and a utility bill as proof of residency. So it would be my recommendation to the board that the board vote to approve these revisions.
Okay, can I get a motion, please?
Move approval.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Questions, comments?
I'll just say, being new to this group, tip of my cap to Dr. Springer, who's done this for many years, and it is a lot of work, a lot of paper printing, and magic markering. Also to Roberta, who's shepherding it all, and also Doug Masson, who's helping us out again. So it's a great group, and I'll try to contribute in some small way. So.
Any other questions, comments? So, again, this is the first, go ahead, Dr. Yin.
So for the board packet, so there's a description for the board package, like the release to the public, right? In the revision, like what? 143 for the board package release. And so originally it says like, oh, everything is confidential. But it's, you
know. So the Dr. Greiner outlined those in his comments, but the change, yes, is to make it so that individuals still shall not disseminate board packet information, but that we don't have to vote on approval of that agenda item for it to be released. Dr. Springer, do you want to explain that a little bit better?
Well, if you note on tonight's agenda, what we're going to do is at the end, information for the public. Board documents and audio from each board meeting will be posted on our website within 7 to 10 days following the board meeting. So essentially these documents Roberta will upload to our website, so anybody then will have access to them after the board meeting.
They require, some of them require redaction, and so as you know, the day after the meeting she has been posting for the past several months, the AP, the personnel, and the minutes and the audio recording. All of that's already been up. Now this is everything else in the packet will go up. The timeline of 7 days, 7 to 10 days, is to allow for a worst case scenario should someone be ill or technology issues or any of those other things.
Well, an additional time required to redact
some
of these documents.
Okay. I mean, just the policy, the right now the red fonts actually doesn't just say like when it will be released. And so it's only crossed out the original confidential statement, right?
Right. So it references policy 8310. Did you have the opportunity to
look at? Yeah, I read that one.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I wonder, that one actually didn't directly say the releasing time. He said, well, I read the later part. I do.
Okay, well, there's a difference between policy and then administrative guidelines. Mm-hmm. Policy is the overarching language regarding matters, and then the 7 to 10 days is more an administrative guideline.
Okay, so these 7 to 10 days are not in this policy, basically.
School boards are, we are assembled to deal with the structure, the policy, and then mm-hmm. we empower our superintendent to direct the action beyond that. So this ensures that it is done, and Dr. Greiner ensures how and when it is done. Does that help explain it a little more thoroughly?
Kind of, yeah, because I sort of heard, there will be operation, like how that will be operated, but it's not in the policy. So, but you explained that operation should not be in the policy.
Yeah, we have to remember that we as a board are at the 10,000 foot view, and so we don't want to micromanage what's happening in central office. We want to allow the superintendent to direct that. Is that a fair statement, Dr.
Roney? Well, I was going to say, the good news, too, is that now I can do that, because before you guys had to give me permission to do that through votes. So now we will be able to disseminate.
Okay, I see. So which, that kind of release the original constraint for
yes,
you.
Yes, correct.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry, that took longer to get around to there, but we're there.
Yeah, because I heard, you know, that thing was said, but it's not here, and that's why I
thought. Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions, comments? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. We'll move on to item 7, a new school board policy.
Now, this policy will require two readings because it is a new policy. So this is the first reading, and policy 4425 focuses on nursing mothers, and it's focusing on non-certified staff who are breastfeeding, giving them the ability to have unpaid breaks to express milk if this policy is approved. And this, again, is the first of two readings.
Can I get a motion, please?
No, 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 we don't need.
Oh, there's no motion. First reading. Sorry. Thank you.
Just if anybody has any comments.
Any comments, questions for Dr. Reiner?
It's a very thoughtful policy. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
And another question is, so I wonder, usually for either a new policy or policy revision, and what's a trigger for it? Like, for example, the definition for rape. And was there a law or something that's why we need to revise our policy? Or usually, I just wonder, in general, then when the policy will be revised or something new will be added to it?
Yeah, great question, Dr. Yen. Indiana code changes, which can put requirements on school corporations, school boards. And so if code changes, then the policy team comes together and looks at and takes the recommendations of NEOLA's attorneys, our consulting organization that helps us stay up to date on policies. And so those would be things that you as a board would just know that if the superintendent's making that recommendation, which several of these are, the board would be wise to approve those to keep us consistent with Indiana code. Additionally, though, sometimes the clients, different school corporations, will see spelling errors, technical errors, capitalization incorrect, and so forth. So those will be reported to the NEOLA firm, and then those could be something that would trigger a simple revision too, which would just require one reading because it's simply a technical change.
Okay. So, yeah. So for, let's say at the state level, we're in a legislative session right now, and every legislative session, there are laws passed that affect the school corporations. And NEOLA gets those laws, and if necessary to develop policy, new policies would be developed from NEOLA, or they would issue revisions. And then NEOLA will send those revisions to the different school corporations, and then each school corporation's policy committee will get together and look at the suggested language and choose the options that best fits our school corporation. School policy is local in the sense that it's tailored to the needs of each individual school corporation. For example, when we started the whole policy board, the 9-section revision a few years ago, there were some suggested NEOLA policies that we looked at and we decided, you know what, our existing policy serves us better than the NEOLA policy. So then we just kept that policy. And then when federal law changes and those laws that impact the schools, there are policy changes that we need to put in place to reflect that as well. Neil sends policy revisions in the spring and in the fall. And with the change in leadership, we're a little behind, but we will catch up.
And just, Dr. Schringer, for clarification, this has a federal code citation, does it, the nursing mother's policy?
Yes, that's a new.
So that's a federal law. It's,
yes.
It's that we're staying in compliance with. As a point of reference, and Amy can validate this number for me, but as I understand it, there were 149 new pieces of legislation in the past 4 years alone governing schools. So when you look at why we would need to make some revisions to our policy to stay in compliance with state law, that the lawmakers are not, they're giving us lots of opportunities to practice. So any other comments at all? We'll see that one come back next month. Moving on to COVID-19 update, Dr. Greiner.
In order for the corporation to accept ESSER funds, we have to have a return to in-person plan, and that plan must be consistent with our practices. And so it, given the recommendations of our medical professionals and the COVID committee, where we've gone the direction of following the recommendations of the Indiana Department of Health in mask optional, we must make that change in our ESSER plan in order to stay consistent with our practices. So we've worked with our doctors, corporation doctor consultants, and we've got those revisions made, and we would ask the board to approve those tonight. I think you would probably vote to change
yes.
the policy.
Okay.
Yeah, we do
so
need
we can
to vote.
Put the date that it was changed.
Okay, so I need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Schott. Second by Mrs. Austin. Comments, questions? I would like to say thank you. We heard from a number of people in our community, feedback on all sides of the equation. And it's always helpful to hear differing viewpoints. So I know that I was grateful for that. And Dr. Reiner and I had a lot of opportunities to discuss that. Anybody else?
Well, I just can say to both of you, you did an excellent job, which is very difficult to do to stay up with responses, and you gave very timely responses on both sides of a difficult issue that we all have had to deal with in one form or another. So I appreciate your efforts in a busy time to do that.
Thanks.
It's excellent.
Anyone else? Any comments, questions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. We'll move on to item 8 and school bus purchase, which I'm going to guess might be Mr. Olhout.
That's correct.
All right.
So last month, Mr. Sloat asked to table the school bus proposal. That was because we received a quote for our purchase of a school bus that had us trading in two buses instead of one, as per the bus replacement plan. So we were able to get the quote revised, and we are going to ask your consent to purchase a transit bus with the features that are listed in the board packet for the bus. We have three bids. The lowest bid for all the equivalent features was IC Collins at $153,202, which is a little bit above the budget, the school bus replacement plan amount of $144,130. And for one reason, just general inflation, since we created the budget, which is when the bus replacement plan is done, and also because we elected for air conditioning at the urging of many, including some folks on the board. And I think that our students do appreciate that. We use these transit buses quite a bit, not just for the normal routes, but also for field trips and other things. So the additional storage is needed and appreciated as well. So it's our recommendation that you approve the purchase of an IC Collins school bus, trading in one other bus.
Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Karpik. Comments, questions, discussion?
Thank you for providing the multiple quotes and with all the details. That's very helpful. I agree, air conditioning is essential. It should be included.
And do we have other buses in our fleet from that company, and have they serviced us well?
Yes, and our buses are serviced, as you may know, by contract with the Tippecanoe School Corporation, and they're able to work on these buses, this bus as well.
Yeah, but the buses hold up well.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Anything else? Any other comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. Move on to item 9, Office Pride, and Mr. Allhout.
So Office Pride is a service that provides contracted custodial service for us. As many schools and other entities are encountering difficulties hiring such folks directly, we contracted with Office Pride 6 months ago at the start of the school year to help fill those gaps when they arise so that we can maintain the cleanliness in our buildings. And we've been very satisfied with their service. They generally provide about three, on average, three custodians at a time. They bill us on a monthly basis for those. Each custodian they provide is provided, and on this new renewal of 6 months, $4,400 per month per custodian. And those are on an as-needed basis, so we can raise and lower that number as our needs shift. And we found this service to be very, very beneficial and very useful. So I'd recommend that you approve a six-month extension of the Office Pride contract.
Can I get a motion, please? Mm-hmm. Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Questions, comments, discussion? Mr. Allhout, originally, as I recall, we selected this firm to help us having difficulty hiring our own personnel. Have you continued to seek out hires?
Yes, we continue to seek out hires. We continue to keep our own internal postings going. We continue to try to recruit on other jobs, recruiting websites, and those. We've always got our feelers to the ground on these types of things. We don't necessarily want to have to fill these vacancies this way, and we do continue to try to search for internal hires.
Thank you. Any other questions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. Moving on to item 10, Document Destruction Medical Waste Services, Mr. Allhout.
Yes, so our previous provider of shredding and medical waste services has not been available lately, and so we needed to go out and get some other bids. The best bid that we have is from Medical Waste Solutions Incorporated out of Indianapolis. They provide service to each of our buildings to come on a once every other month basis to pick up any bulk documents for shredding, and twice annually to pick up medical waste at a rate of $69 per container for larger containers and $41 per container for smaller containers. So generally speaking, we use the larger container at the junior senior high school. So we would recommend that you approve this contract with Medical Waste Solutions for a year.
Okay, can I get a motion, please? Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Carpenter. Discussion, questions?
Shred away.
Shred away. hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. Move on to item 11, marching band proposal. I invite Mr. Pettit.
Brandon, will it be a problem for the recording if I walk around with this? No, all right, thanks. I'm a teacher, I don't like standing in one spot. So first I thought it was important to let you know that I'm not here to complain. I've been here for a decade now, and it's been amazing. And I've never once felt that the fine arts, especially the band program, was not supported. Anytime I've been able to go to Dr. Kelly in the past, or I mean, as I look around, most of you have either had your child in band or I currently do have your child in band. You've always supported me, and I really appreciate it. And I had my first meeting with Dr. Greiner and with Steve a couple weeks ago. And again, nothing but support. It's been wonderful. I left a job to come here that I really enjoyed at Carroll. I had built that program up, and it was a big leap, and it was a leap I'm really glad I took. So I don't want this to come off at all as me saying, you guys don't support us. It's not it at all, okay? I'm here to advocate for my kids, my hundreds of kids that are in the band program now, and hopefully the thousands that'll come through over the long career I plan to be here, as long as you'll have me. Brandon, I hope I do this right. Yeah, it worked. All right. So for those that don't know, this is a little bit of background information on the Sound of Westside, which is our name for our marching band program that we have here. When I got here in 2012, there was the Burtsfield Gym, which is on the land that Willis is now on. And it was amazing. We had our own gym, kitchen space, storage area, parking lot. I used to brag to my other band director friends, like, man, I get so much support. They give me my own building. This is great. It was amazing. And then Willis had to be built, which is fine. I have a wonderful band room there, more support like I'm talking about. Wonderful. But that caused us to lose our home. And we've been nomads ever since when that happened. We got moved over to Cumberland to practice for a while, and then we got moved over to Happy Hollow, which is this building. And each year I've always had to come to the current superintendent, whoever that is, and ask, okay, where are we going to be this year? And it's always like I'm asking permission to be somewhere. So the marching band and the kids, they don't have a home, and so that's why I'm here. The past couple of years, 2020 not excluded, to me that year didn't even exist really. We've had access to these things I put on the slide here. The bathroom's by door 9, which is closest to the choir room. I guess it's that way, isn't it? The storage area just inside door 9. The choir and music room, the cafeteria, and the gymnasium. So we tried to stay all on that side of the building, nothing on the second floor. And also we've been allowed to park our band trailer behind the building. It just keeps it out of the way. And we use these areas from mid-July when we start our band camp to mid-October when football season is over. So that's what we've been allowed to use since 2019. And I really appreciate it. It works for us. But I know that that's not a long-term solution, because obviously we as a school corporation have bigger plans for this space. Like, we're going to do something here someday. So I'm trying to think long-term for the marching band. It didn't work. What, I got to point it at something? Oh, towards you? My bad. All right. So like I said, the students, they deserve a permanent home. The things that we need to be successful, we have to have a minimum of 57,000 square feet of space, because that's, if you do the look up Google what a football field size is, that's the minimum space we need. Right now, we don't have any lighting out there. So in the fall, I actually have to cut our practices an hour short as we get further in the season, because it gets so dark, it's not safe. Kids are running into each other. It's not safe. So we need to have lighting for our outdoor space. We need to have parking for the students and staff, obviously. It's important for important for the kids to have access to restrooms and water, shelter in case of inclement weather. I mean, to me, these are just basic necessities. We're not asking for the moon. We're just asking for the basics. A place to park our trailer. If you have ever been to like Lafayette Jeff or several other schools, maybe even Benton Central, I think, they have a rehearsal tower for the band directors to be able to see and clean the drill. You know what I've used in the whole 10 years I've been here? A scissor lift. It's not very safe. Like, I don't feel safe getting up in that scissor lift. And it's a big hassle for our maintenance staff, because they have to load it onto a truck, bring it over here, drop it off, and then it has to stay out in the elements while we're doing band camp. So it'd be really nice if we can have, number one, safer for the directors, and also save our maintenance staff from having to put that lift outside. We use a scissor lift right now. So a rehearsal tower would be wonderful. And then the band is getting bigger and doing bigger performances. This coming 2022 show, we're doing the Trojan Horse Show, and the robotics team and Mr. Florence and all those students have agreed to work in tandem with the band, which is awesome. And they're going to help us build a huge 20-foot-tall Trojan horse to be in part of our show. So in order to transport this, I've worked with Subaru Automotive, and I've also worked with a trucking company out of Crawfordsville called Wilcox Trucking, and they're going to provide a semi-truck for us. So we also need a place big enough to pull a semi-truck into. Like I said, the band's doing big things, and it's fun for the kids to get, they get this experience. So, man, I'm not good at this. Uh-oh, messed up. Is this the right one? There we go. What am I asking for? I'm asking that for the foreseeable future, until we can get things, you know, in motion, please allow the marching band to continue using the same space that we used in 2021, which I wrote in the previous slide, and I talked to Dr. Griner about. We really appreciate it if we can please use the same space for now. But I'm asking in the long term, please designate a space somewhere within the school corporation that meets the needs of the band that I listed on that slide, and make that our permanent home, so we don't have to wonder each year where we're going to be. Please allow the band program, this is where I'm for the future, please allow me and the band to launch a fundraising campaign that we can raise funds to build facilities we need on the land designated for Sound of Westside. We do the Marchathon every year, and it's been very successful for us. You need a mattress, and Sunday after break, we're going to be selling mattresses. We just do these fundraisers, but I think that if you would allow us to have a permanent piece of land and say, this is the marching band's land within the school board's parameters and within the education association, you can do what you guys need to do there, of course, with approval from the school board. I think I could then start a fundraising campaign and reach out to our alumni and local businesses, and we can build all the things I put on that list. But I don't want to do that until I have the, like, permission to use the land, because sure, that would be terrible if I got these businesses to all say they'll donate money for it, and then the land never showed. So please, next slide. Thank you. So this is an example of what we could do if we were allowed to have the space. As you can see, I've taken an aerial view from Google of the Happy Hollow space. And the space right there to the right, that's in a white parabola, I guess, and in a green outline, is space that we are you're allowed to use since 2019. It's the grassy field out behind Happy Hollow. And then the gray area and the red area is where the old tennis courts are, not the ones out by Salisbury, but the ones out behind the building, as well as the old playground area where the playground equipment has been torn out. That's what the gray and the red area is. And it's a little bit into the basketball goal. Now, this is not perfect, right? This was just a sketch study on the computer, but I'm asking for something similar to this, and these are my ideas. Like, I thought we could make a new driveway that goes out to King, is it Kingston? Yeah? Okay. A new driveway that would be a separate driveway that would access the marching band facility, could pave that area for parking for students and staff, paint the practice field in green where it's at. I'd have to do some sodding, of course, in the area that's sand over there. And then I know that there's some drainage issues in the white area, and so, but we use it all the time in the fall when it's dry weather. We still use it even though it's got drainage issues. As long as there's not rain, it's great for us because we can practice our parade marching and our turns and things like that. And so this is what I'm asking for, is just to consider this whenever you're trying to make decisions on this space over here. Like I said, I had a meeting with Steve Florence today during my lunch, and we agree that for the time being, of course, until the decisions are made, him and I are friends and we can share the space, because I know Robotics already had asked to use the cafeteria and the art room and things. Totally fine. Steve and I, we, like I said, we're even in tandem where he's going to help us, help the marching band build the Trojan horse. So there won't be an issue with that, I promise you. This is long term I'm talking. So are there any questions I can answer for anybody? Yes.
I was orchestra. You don't have to march with a cello. What is wrong with the field at the high school? Why can't you use the football field there? Because doesn't football play up there? Like, I just want to know specifically why.
Junior high football uses that football field. That's why junior high football uses it.
That makes sense. Yeah. You don't want to run into them?
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
No problem. And a lot of people don't know this, including myself, when I first started being a band director. I didn't know how much a marching band tears up a football field. And I guess I realize it now after doing this for years, because we march the same pattern over and over 1,000 times in a day.
Okay.
And it really kills the grass big time. And so the AD, Mr. Stroh, doesn't like us using his football field for that reason.
Okay.
It kills the grass. Mm-hmm. I'll be happy to answer any other questions. And if you think of one later, you know my email address, please send it to me. Thank you so much for your time. I know you guys are busy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pettit. And as a geeky band mom, I just want to say thank you for the work that you do. All right, we will move on to item 12, the West Lafayette Intermediate School Student Handbook. Dr. Greiner.
So you saw in the board packet a few revisions, minor revisions to the Willis Student Handbook. So it's my recommendation that the board approve those revisions this evening.
Okay, can I get a motion, please?
Move approval.
Oh, wow, I'm having issues.
Dr. Springer.
Dr. Springer, thank you. You have a second? Yes. It's been a long day. Second by Mr. Karpik, thank you so much. questions, comments, discussion?
So the revision, since our packet, most of the information in the packet will be shared afterwards, so then the public will be able to see the revisions, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because that'll be very helpful. Otherwise, you know, there are new things, but the handbook is super long. It's hard to tell which part is a new piece.
So the dissemination of the student handbook goes out through the students to the parents. Is that correct? Yeah. Mrs. Saros, what would be the distribution of this and timing?
It's been, on a typical year, this year our student comes to lab October because of delays with shipping and all that. That's why we're trying to do this early. Typically, the student handbooks are in their assignment books and they get them right away at the beginning of the year. This year, we send it out digitally to students and parents because we didn't have the handbooks to hand out this. And yes,
it's supposed to not like this. Yep. Yeah, I understand that. And I mean, just for the revision, yeah, Dr. Greiner already said it will be shared with the public, so it's not issue. No.
I would, just as a side note, Mrs. Saros might chime in on this, but I would advise any parent to review the student handbook every year so they understand what the obligations are and can work through those with their children. So it's important to know the revisions, but that's the best counsel I could imagine giving to a family should they approach one of us, is that to go to the source document that the school's provided them so they understand, they don't miss anything, you know, have any questions, could go to the office. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
We actually review it ourselves. Even though we put it together, it's always something
to go back to when we're trying to make a decision for a situation.
Any other questions, discussion?
There are a couple of typos. On the last page, drop-off pickup procedures, we call it lefty lane twice. It's left lane, but we call it lefty.
It's actually lefty lane.
Then there's another, and it just says left lane, so I'm like, I can teach.
So is that the only?
I can't, now I'm totally thrown off.
It is the actual name.
Oh, yeah. The only other question I had for you, it says parents need to stay off their cell phones when they're in line, and I used to drop off and pick up kids, and parents don't do that. Do you need any help trying to get that to happen? When parents go through the line to pick up children, sometimes I notice they're on their cell phones when Meredith and Matt were there. So do you guys need any help with that? That's what I'm asking you. How do you, it's a rule, how do you?
I know, but would you ask parents to do that, because there's a lot of traffic, both pedestrian and car traffic during that time, and I know that it's easy to get distracted with all kinds of things going on, and we're worried about student safety. And so that's, I mean, we have people out there, we're supervising and helping, but we want everyone to be the most alert they can when you know they're sitting down walking, that sometimes don't do exactly like we ask. Like, for instance, we ask them to get off on the right side onto the sidewalk, and a child will get out of their left side of their car because there's a car seat or something they can't climb over. So things like that are worrisome to me if parents aren't fully alert. And you're right, we can't monitor that. We can't do anything if someone is, but putting it out there lets parents at least think about it and try to be cognizant of the extra dangers that we're trying to eliminate.
Y'all have signs out there? Mm-hmm. Okay.
We also send that portion separately at the beginning of the year just to make sure every parent who might be a new car rider gets that early and starts thinking about what happens during pickup time. It runs pretty smoothly, honestly, and it runs pretty quickly because we have a large area that kids can get out on, and so traffic moves pretty quickly through there.
Good. That's all I have.
I do like to comment that I think being able to share this with the parents is really helpful. I remember, for example, and the hoods and rule. Last year, we passed a policy for high school that hoods actually are allowed for high school students. And then for wheelers, we add a policy saying the students may not wear hoods. So things like this, I feel, can be very helpful for parents. And even the experienced ones, you know, when there are new policies and if the revision is marked, and it will be helpful for them. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Anything else? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. We'll move on to item 13, field trips. Dr. Greiner.
So the boys swim team submitted a field trip request, the IHSAA dive championship, 225 to 226 overnight at IUPUI in Indianapolis. The robotics team has submitted overnight requests for several competitions, Kokomo 3-4 to 3-6, Holman Institute of Technology 4-15 to 4-16, and George Brown Convention Center 4-19 to 4-24. It's my recommendation that the board approve these overnight field trips, which is part of board policy.
Yeah, motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley. Second by Mrs. Austin. Discussion, questions? Hearing none, we wish the swim team and robotics team good luck. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. Item 14, personnel report, Dr. Greiner.
It's my recommendation that the board approve the personnel report as presented in the packet.
Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Questions, anything? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Moving on to item 15, accounts payable, Mr. Olhout.
This month, we have accounts payable in the total of $3,379,628.37. Of which $975,373 is payroll. Payroll deductions of $455,330.78. Other claims of $875,555.98. WEVAC claims of $65,242.28. And construction projects, $1,008,126.08. This month, as Dr. Yin alluded to earlier, I will attach at the back of the claims the kind of a key or a document that explains who the vendors are, especially the most common vendors that you'll see month to month. So if anybody wants to take a look at that, it'll be available with this this month's accounts payable.
Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Questions for Mr. O'Hall?
Yeah, I just like to express my appreciation again and to Steve and Dr. Greener. And Steve created a very detailed code book, which is super helpful. And Dr. Greener said, oh, let's share that with the public as well. So to keep transparency and also help the public to understand the account payable, I think this is super helpful. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. Information to the board? I do not have any this month. Board and superintendent reports. We can start with Mr. Karpik.
Shad's going to report on the foundation. I will say that with the alumni, which is kind of tied to that to some extent, we'll be having our event over the Wall of Pride on April the, I believe it's the 8th and 9th. Not right the dates, I don't know the dates in front of me, but we're in the process of still 7th and 8th, I'm sorry, it's like it's Thursday and Friday. And it'll be an event on the night of the 7th, and then on the 8th will be the event at, or will be members that are on the Wall of Pride that will be there will be at the high school as part of their presentation. So that is already in process. We're also working on the next, we have a meeting, I believe, on tomorrow, no, Wednesday, that will deal with the 2023 class as well. So.
Mr. Marlin?
Nothing to report on insurance committee negotiations. Quick update on redevelopment. So everybody knows where Cumberland Avenue is, right?
It's where West Lafayette Elementary School
is. Yeah. Bingo. And then Salisbury Street, right? Yeah. So how many have noticed that lane going south is a little narrow? Anyone? Yeah, it's because it is. It's a foot and a half too narrow. So the old expression, measure twice and cut once, apparently doesn't apply to engineers and contractors and design people, but they are going to move that curve foot and a half to the west where it belongs, and it's going to happen all summer. So enjoy getting around town again this summer. But you can't get a bus around that corner. It's impossible without hitting another car. So we got to fix it. So we're going to fix it at no cost to the taxpayer. So there you go. That's all I had.
Mr. Shaw?
Follow up on the Education Foundation, Scarlet and Gray Dinner again, March 26th. As of this morning, Wendy Haler reports 130 guests have registered. The goal is 200, so still plenty of room for anyone who'd like to join, and hope all of my colleagues here will join us. I do have a record number of sponsors at this point. I know they've been working very hard to reinvent that event. It should be a lot of fun. It is at Ross State Stadium at Purdue. Looking ahead, the foundation is going to share more about what they're calling silos of support, which are endowments that can provide resources for specific areas within our schools. A couple of examples already in place are the John Taylor Athletics Endowment, which is supporting the student athlete leadership team at the junior senior high school, and setting the stage endowment for the arts, which a lot of us got to be a part of Saturday night at the wonderful performance of The Wizard of Oz. It's great to have Rocky back and Dr. Greener there for those festivities. Other areas in the Styles of Support program, STEM education, liberal arts education, K through 6 education, student wellness, and just overall education foundation operations. A couple other things, teacher grants, spring semester information has been sent out to the deadline of March 11th, which is Friday, and the winners will be notified by April 14th. And the three class reunions are set for this fall to date, classes of 72, 62, and 57. Thanks.
Dr. Springer?
So from the Park Board on February 28th, the city closed on the purchase of 14.8 acres of land next to the existing Case and Family Park. This doubles the size of this new park, so we are in the process of redesigning what Kaysen Park will look like. Beginning March 1st, last week, the Wellness Center began offering a discount for Indiana school employees. So certified, non-certified, full-time, part-time employees of state-accredited K through 12 Indiana school corporations are eligible. The $50 joiner fee is waived, plus 10% off membership. And the Wellness Center is going to be holding Easter egg hunts on Saturday, April 9th. There will be multiple age level hunts from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For GLASS, the third governing board meeting of the 2021-22 school year was held on Tuesday, February 15th. The GLASS staff presented information and data on the GLASS-funded departments and programs for the school year. And then based on the December 1st, 2021 special ed count, the staff presented student enrollment data by corporation, disability, and program. And then GLASS employee data was also presented. At the February board teacher discussion meeting, we discussed clarification and appreciation for the COVID days, sick days because of COVID that we approved last month. We discussed the formation of a dual platform instruction committee to begin work early April. I presented the Wellness Center employee discount. We discussed the upcoming two April snow days, and then we discussed the new COVID guidelines based on the new IDOH guidelines that we approved tonight.
Mrs. Austin.
The Public School Foundation hosted the Cupcake Bake Off on February 16th, which was a lot of fun. My son fell on the sword because I have an allergy, and his favorite was lemon raspberry. Harrison won Best of Show and $1,000, and the People's Choice winner was from McCutcheon. Keeping an eye on the legislature has been like the worst game of whack-a-mole ever, except I never had to read this much while playing whack-a-mole. There have been a lot of updates, but the best one is 1134, which was the House bill with all of the controversy, died on February 28th. And there are a lot of other bills. As you mentioned, it's a fire hose. The one we need to keep an eye on is 1363, but they're going to be done this week, so yay. And we can all take a break. And Vice President Harris announced that there will be $17 million worth of grants made available to public schools for converting the nation's school bus fleet to electric. So that might be something interesting to look at while we're looking at our buses for the next one. And Rachel and I attended the State House Day for the Indiana School Board Association and enjoyed lunch with Representative Klinker. And I spoke with the ISBA representation about getting more involved on a regional and state level, which I'm looking forward to. As far as community council, I've looked into how it used to operate prior to COVID and shared that history with Dr. Greiner. And we're working on reviving the group for the fall and extending invitations to the people or the people in the positions which used to be involved, like the parent council presidents. And we're talking about new people who we might invite to that discussion. And I also wrote a whole nice paragraph about how great the Wizard Boss was, but we already covered that. It was amazing. And it was the best fun ever. And that's all I got.
Dr. Ian?
I only served on the community council, so Amy did the search and the plan, and so I only made one suggestion. So based on the history, only the union teachers in the union are joined the council. I wonder whether the teachers who are not on the union can join the council as well. So that's my only suggestion.
Actually, from what I've looked into, the teachers weren't involved before, and that was just one of the suggestions for other groups that we could possibly invite, as well as several other groups throughout the city. I think I mentioned the police department, and it was more of a brainstorming possibility, and not necessarily the teachers weren't involved prior to now that I'm aware of. So I'm sure Dr. Greiner will have ideas about whether or not we can do that. But.
Yeah, just to be clear, as I understand it, the community council is really the superintendent's committee that we happen to have board members attached to as representatives. with Dr. Grinder being new and us hoping to help assemble information, the community council's been laid off for more than 2 years because of COVID. And so Mrs. Austin was really just being proactive and supporting his decision-making ability later by assembling some information for him. That help explain the process?
Okay.
Teacher. Yeah. And that's true. Teachers have not been historically involved in that one at all. But that'll be your call. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right.
It is cold in here.
It is. It's chilly. All right. So moving on, we have no one signed up for communication from the audience. Future meetings, our next regular board meeting will be Monday, April the 4th at 6:30 p.m. right back here. Upcoming dates of interest, first Saturday feedback will be Saturday, April the 2nd at 9 a.m. in the Fresh Time Market Community Room. Also, as a note, it's on our agenda, but board documents and audio from this meeting will be posted on the website within 7 to 10 days following the board meeting. And we're hopeful that it's helpful to those in our community who are interested in looking at that information. And with that, can I get a motion to adjourn the meeting, please? Yes. Moved by Mrs. Austin. Second by Mr. Marley. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, you're adjourned. Have a wonderful evening, everyone.